Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia. Free speech lives here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go, live on this Monday, April 8th. It is indeed Kale and Company, right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are always live on the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube as we head until 10 o'clock this morning. 855-839-1210 is the phone number. On social media, at 1210 WPHT, I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. Barry Walter in for Don Stenslin today. Greg Stocker is the chairman of the board. Phil Omquist, Anthony Dorenzo, our associate producers. Action-packed Monday morning. Mary, good morning. How are you? Oh, no. We do not have her. Mary Walter.
I see her.
Coming in live.
She's there.
One, two.
One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four.
Mary, if you can hear us, just wave to the crowd on YouTube.
Uh-oh. That's a no.
All right.
All right. Boys in the back, please fix this.
We'll get to Mary in a second. But you know what? Just hang tight, Mary. Just smile. Wave to the camera. Because we have a lot of good stuff to get to this morning. When do you hear the big take that I have lined up for you on an experiment that I think is coming to a close? But before we get to that and all sorts of other things in the news today, Gregory, how are you, buddy?
Don't look directly at the sun today, whatever you do. Don't.
Don't do it?
Don't do it.
For all of the, what, 4 minutes that
don't
it will take?
Don't do it.
I can't believe people are actually making this out to be, like, appointment Nick, viewership.
Nick, there was a report on Friday. David Muir, ABC World News Tonight, about terrorist attacks that can happen
in those 4 minutes
because of large gatherings today, this afternoon, whatever.
I mean, honestly, people loot, they steal, they rob, they kill in broad daylight. So if you get 4 minutes where the sun's completely blocked out, you know, shoot or shoot, right?
It's a good point.
You got to take your shot.
It's a very good point. It's a very good point.
And this is coming at what? Is it 3:23 Eastern, I believe, is
something
the exact
like that,
time?
Yeah.
All right, so I'll be up from the nap, so I'll catch it.
Oh, for God's sake.
If it was going to be at, like, my point being, if it was going to be at 1:23,
yeah,
I'd probably sleep right through it.
Did you stay up and watch the entirety of WrestleMania?
I did. I'm on about 4 hours of sleep.
You watched the entire thing?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
I did.
I tapped out after...
You missed the greatest main event of all time.
I don't tell me.
Greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, I saw a video this morning, so I know what happened.
But I mean, I'm 40 years old, sitting there in my underwear, geeking out like I'm six.
I tapped out after Logan Paul won.
Okay. Very good.
But
big day, I mean, a big weekend for the city of Philadelphia. 145,000 plus people was the two-night total attendance.
How much?
145,000 plus.
Wow.
For Saturday and Sunday.
It was, I mean, we had a lot of... Kale and Company listeners go down there. I saw, you know, some people tweet some stuff out. Our buddy Amy went down there. A lot of people. So
Jason Kelsey and Lane Johnson,
yeah,
jumping into the ring on Saturday night wearing luchador masks.
I love how everybody thought that was like a big surprise. We reported that like a week and a half ago that they were thinking about doing that.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So, obviously, a huge weekend. Congrats to Phil Omquist and his UConn Huskies beating my Alabama Crimson Tide on Saturday night. They'll play in the national championship tonight.
And South Carolina.
Yeah.
The Gamecocks.
Yeah, we got to get to Dawn Staley coming up.
Yeah.
At the bottom of the hour.
I will say that she did call Caitlin Clark the GOAT.
Well, that's nice.
So.
Nice of her to admit that.
Yeah.
We'll talk about what she
Boys,
did.
Is anybody working on Mary's audio, or are we just going to, you know, we start at 6:05 now?
Oh, there we go.
We start at 6 a.m.!
DiRenzo says he's coming in now.
Oh, for God. It's 6:05.
Yeah, he's taking his time, you know. He's gonna come scooting on by the studio like Tiny Tim. It's gonna be great. All right, so Mary, hang tight. If you're talking, if you're yelling, if you're throwing things, I can't hear it. Maybe I can see it, but we'll get to you in a little bit. All right, we got a lot of good things I want to get to. Not only the big take with the DEI experiment and defund the police, we're gonna get to Dawn Staley, what she said on Saturday about men coming into women's sports. Trump with a big cash haul over the weekend. And another interview from John Fetterman that makes you sit back and say, what's going on with this guy? I don't know. He's starting to become very, very likable as the days go by. Cut sheet will be loaded. We've got some thoughts on The Rock and not endorsing Joe Biden in 2024 and much, much more. But let's get to the big take right here. It is 6:06, and let's get right to it on a Monday morning.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, the big take this morning is brought to you by Budget Blinds. Experiment over the death of DEI and defund the police. You know, on this show, on a daily basis, we cover stories and we talk about the issues plaguing America during the Joe Biden presidency. And for 3.5 years, we have seen and we have been stunned at the headlines, the empty speeches, the god-awful progressive policies, and the goals of this bumbling, mumbling, and stumbling administration. From climate change to gender ideology, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and racism. This is an administration and a staff that is hell-bent on the fringe issues pushed by the fringe left that ignores or doesn't have the solution to kitchen table issues for Americans. The border, the economy, energy, and crime. And as Joe Biden's first term and hopefully only term winds down, it's time to officially inform America that the experiment is over. And I believe you are seeing the death of DEI and the defund the police movement in this country, and it is long past due. And to highlight why this absurd experiment is over, I want to put up a spotlight on four prominent black media members who will echo what I am alluding to this morning on The Big Take. That being Charlamagne the God, Sage Steele, Stephen A. Smith, and Charles Barkley. Let's begin with Charlamagne, who was hosting The Daily Show, and he said this. Listen and watch.
The truth about DEI is that although it's well-intentioned, it's mostly garbage, okay? It's kind of like the Black Little Mermaid. Just because racists hate it doesn't mean it's good. And you know I'm right, because every one of you has sat through one of those diversity training sessions and thought, this is some And it's not just you. Over 900 studies have shown that DEI programs don't make the workplace better for minorities. In fact, it can actually make things worse because of the backlash effect.
And he is correct on a few of those points that he makes, because these programs do not work. First of all, they are discriminatory in nature. Second of all, they are illegal when you come out and advertise that the position is basically not available for one or two demographics. That's exclusionary and also a civil rights violation, or at the very least, a violation of discriminatory hiring practices, which is why you have stories like these recently in the news. University of Minnesota Law School will no longer give preference to minorities for fellowship in a win for civil rights. Change to equally consider white and male applicants came after a civil rights complaint was filed. And how about this headline? Texas University clears DEI offices, lays off employees in light of new state law. The Texas Senate Committee on Education is expected to hold a hearing in May, probing university officials on how they are ensuring compliance with state law banning DEI. Now, here is part two of Charlamagne. Listen and watch this.
I'm not surprised these programs didn't work, and here's why. It's just corporate PR. They want good vibes. And also, they want to cover their okay? Did you know that if a company gets sued for civil rights violations, just having a DEI program will be counted as evidence in their favor, even if the program doesn't do okay? It's the I have a black friend of the legal system, right? We don't need corporate DEI.
DEI is divisive, it is exclusionary, and I think downright idiotic. Why would anybody in a for-profit business potentially shun prospective employees who could be the best person for the job merely for social credit scores, optics, and for cosmetic sakes? Merit-based hiring is the only proven way to go. Best person for the job, regardless of identity politics. The reality of the situation is that DEI is actually this. Listen and watch.
Today, when people talk about DEI, it's more likely to sound like this.
DEI is just a rebranded version of hating white people.
DEI, in this case, stands for divisive, erroneous, and insidious.
DEI, which stands for didn't earn it.
Discrimination, exclusion, and indoctrination.
The biggest joke of all of the DEI that is pushed and the agendas that are shoved down Americans' throats is that it relishes diversity in appearance and lifestyle, but it doesn't value diversity of thought. You will all look different, but think and speak the same beliefs. I think it's a bunch of crap, and Sage Steele knew it as well. The former ESPN host was a guest of Tucker Carlson's and had this to say about being a black conservative female no longer willing to go along with ESPN's left-wing narratives. Listen and watch this.
Found out, yeah, more from my employer, like, zip it. And so I made sure that night when I received that email, which was, wow, I'm in the middle of a free speech lawsuit against that company. I made sure and sent another email. Are you going to tell me to not support women? Like,
this is like the most Orwellian sentence. I alluded to it in the intro, but here it is. While civil discourse on the issue of transgender athletes competing in women's sports is both appropriate and beneficial, that discourse needs to be fact-based and should not rely on personal attacks, insults, derogatory or crude language, or misgendering others. So you can disagree as long as you accept their premise.
As long as you follow the narrative.
The experiment of DEI, in my opinion, is done. Now let's get to the death of the defund the police movement, because progressive elected officials in big blue cities have turned major metropolitan areas into unsafe, filthy, drug-ridden disasters. Portland, Oregon, prime example. They are now reversing course after the decriminalization of drugs in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, it was so bad that even the junkies that were interviewed on the streets said this is not a good idea. And in New York City, we've seen cops beaten, attacked, and killed by illegal immigrants. The New York Post reporting that New York City crime has reached a two-decade high, despite Mayor Eric Adams insisting that the Big Apple's transit system is the safest in the world. Here's Stephen A. Smith and Charles Barkley on the ridiculous times we are living in post-George Floyd. Listen and watch.
And you see the streets. You see the streets of New York.
3 weeks ago on TV, they had these migrants. First of all, the border is a joke. The border is a joke.
Yeah.
But they had these migrants, they call them, had just bust up in New York. They got him on camera kicking and beating like cops. They beat up these
two cops. Yeah. Beating up two cops. But, beating up two police officers
but they were,
in the subway station.
They were out of jail in 24 hours. And the next day.
Actually, it was the same day, Charles.
But 2 days later, they called him robbing Macy's. I'm like,
wow.
First of all, they beat up cops. How are you out of jail in 24 hours? And then clearly, 2 days later, they're robbing Macy's. Anybody, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, a dog, a cat, or a puppy, you know that's wrong, period.
And he's right. The border is a joke. Our immigration system is broken, and it's a joke. And our criminal justice system under criminal justice reform has also become a major laughingstock. And it's affected corporate America as big companies and stores are closing up shop and getting out of crime-riddled areas where retail theft and shoplifting is driving up costs to the companies and the cost to insure those products, not to mention the safety of their employees and their customers. So who will these two vote for? Stephen A. Smith posted that question to his guest, Charles Barkley. Listen and watch this.
But it's woke culture. But with woke culture and everything else that's been going on, you've got folks on the left that have endorsed a more lenient legal system, and obviously folks on the right going crazy about it and calling for law and order. Who do you side with, considering our iniquitous history, what's going on today, and who the candidates are in terms of Biden and Trump in all likelihood running for office? What do you do, Charles? Who do you vote for?
First of all, we need law and order, Stephen A. If we're gonna,
I agree.
We're gonna,
I'm with you.
Dude, we need law and order. Hey, trying to fix inequalities has nothing to do with letting people go in stores and rob people. That has nothing to do. That has nothing to do with diversity.
Of course, Charles didn't answer the question about who he would vote for, but his points were correct and valid. Keep in mind, Charles Barkley does a show on CNN on Wednesday nights with Gayle King, so he's not going to come out publicly, I don't think, and say he's voting for Trump. But I'll tell you this much. There are plenty of celebrities and Hollywood elites that are out there now that I think will vote for Donald Trump. 50 Cent, Michael Rapaport, Charles Barkley, Stephen A. Smith, perhaps even The Rock. They all say that Biden has been awful. It's easy to say that. They regurgitate the talking points about the border, crime, law and order, DEI, and woke culture. They, I think, are actually Trump supporters policy-wise, and either they don't know it or they just won't come out and say it, but they are. And I just hope they vote R on Tuesday, November 5th, 2024, because there's a lot at stake. And I think the experiments of DEI and defunding the police are officially over. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, Big Take this morning brought to you by Budget Blinds. Spring is here, and now is the time to budget. Budget Blinds is your one-stop shop for blinds, shades, shutters, custom drapery, and motorization. Visit budgetblinds.com for a free in-home consultation and the only no-questions-asked warranty in the business, budgetblinds.com. Come back, and we'll check in with Mary Walter, get her thought on the big take on DEI and defund the police. And then we got to get to Dawn Staley, who I think just took a flamethrower to the entire sport of women's basketball with one Q&A over the weekend. We'll get to that as we continue. Nick Kale, Mary Walter, in for Dawn Stenzel and Greg Stocker. It is Kale & Company on this Monday morning here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So it's Purdue and UConn for the national championship, the men's national championship. UConn at a -6.5, the over-under at 145.5. I'm going to take UConn at -6.5 and the under for 145.5. I love the FanDuel app. You can bet on it on FanDuel. Right now, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. That's $200 to use on point spreads, money lines. You can even pick who's going to win it all. Visit FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg. Bet on college hoops. FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210 WPHT. 21 and over. President PA. First online real money wager. Only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable. Bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale & Company here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Get us on the free Odyssey app. And, of course, watch us live on YouTube. Nick Kale, Greg Stocker, and Mary Walter in for Dawn Stenzel this morning. Mary, I believe we have you now.
Yeah.
Good morning, Mary. Hello.
Good morning.
There she
How are
is.
You guys?
Yeah.
I was going to say, that was the best you have ever sounded in the history of us doing shows together. I thought you were sensational in the first segment. 10 out of 10.
But my husband says that about me a lot, especially when I'm not home. I had the best night tonight.
Oh, wait, you weren't here. Oh, so that explains why it was. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. And then he probably ducks, right, and takes cover because you might want to haul off and give him a good shot across the skull. All right, I was thinking for a moment maybe the solar eclipse took you and knocked you out and took your power supply away or something like that. Are you going to do anything special today for the solar eclipse at 3:23 Eastern, Mary?
Listen, after surviving the earthquake on Friday.
Oh, yes.
I know. How about that?
Thoughts and prayers.
Everybody.
I will tell you, though, like, okay, so it wasn't that big of a deal in the long run, but if you've never been through an earthquake before, I was on the air, and we were luckily in a break.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, wow, that's a really loud truck. I'm like, wow,
That's louder than a truck. And the house is, and things are still moving. Then everything started to shake because I'm on the third floor. So things are moving. Things are rocking and rolling up here. And I was like, oh, I think this is an earthquake.
A lot of people were wondering what the heck it was because it was a 4.8. A lot of people thought Chris Christie fell out of
That's
bed.
That's not true. That's not true. So, Mary, are you saying the third floor was a shaking?
It was because, well, you know, the higher up you go, the more you feel it.
Yeah,
you know?
I've heard that. Yes, I've heard that. Thank you. Yes.
Wow.
it's too early for the double entendre.
No, it's never too early.
I didn't feel a thing. I didn't even know what happened. I'm driving home Friday after the show on the Schuylkill, and then I go grocery shopping, and I hear people in the aisles of the grocery store saying, yeah, did you feel the earthquake? And I'm like, the hell, where was I at? Yeah. I didn't know anything about it until I looked on Twitter.
Yeah. Apparently, if you're driving, I guess you don't feel it.
Yeah.
So, my husband was driving, and he feels very left out.
Okay.
Because he didn't get to feel it. But I was a Friday years old, so I'm now 4 days old, that from when I learned that earthquakes make noise, and they sound like a tank coming down your street.
Okay.
I had no idea.
Well, every day is a new day, a learning experience, right?
Right. So we had the really bad nor'easter right on Tuesday. Then we had the earthquake on Friday. Now we've got an eclipse today.
This is it.
I don't know, people. I'm stocking up on Kansas Spam.
Yeah.
I don't know
about
the rest
Agreed.
Of you.
You getting Agreed. All the bread and all the toilet paper for 14 days?
14 days, that's it?
All right. I want to get your thoughts on the big take, and then we're going to get to Dawn Staley here. So I'm looking at all of these stories with DEI, and, you know, then you have many people with a major platform in the African-American community, many of which who are not conservative, not Republican. Charles Barkley's not a Republican. Stephen A. Smith is not. Charlamagne the God's not. You go on down the list. Sage Steele is. She's a conservative African-American female.
And unemployed.
And good for her because she stood up to ESPN with the vaccine mandate and free speech and things like that and refused to be suppressed anymore and have to march to the beat of the left. But when you have some prominent figures coming out like that and saying DEI is mostly garbage, defund the police is a total joke, our border is this, our border is that, it just makes me, I mean, first of all, both of them are absolutely correct. But it also makes me wonder if this is a reckoning for those that have historically voted Democrat, where the left has gone so far off the reservation, so to speak, that people are like, you know what, you're too crazy for me. I'm voting for common sense. What do you think about that?
Well, I think, first of all, you're not allowed to say off the reservation.
Ah, that's true.
That, because you're a white man, and that is no longer allowed.
True.
Someone did not read the handbook when he signed his employment agreement.
Ah, you're right.
Yeah, so that's the first thing. As for, a reckoning, a coming to Jesus moment. So, a couple things. I'm just made some notes here. On your big take. So 2016, I don't know how it was for you, but here in New Jersey, you know, everybody was on the down low, right? Like you had to be like on the, you know, very quiet about your support for Trump.
Yep.
Because you can put a Trump bumper sticker on your car because you want your tire slashed. You know, we had a big Trump flag and my husband wanted to fly it. And I'm like, no, because I really can't afford to have the house burned down. So why don't we just not do that? But what I noticed was like we were having work done on our house and, about a week before the election, I finally told my husband, okay, fine, you can fly the Trump flag. So he's flying the flag. And slowly but surely, each one of the contractors came out as Trump supporters.
Mm-hmm.
One of them just looks at me and goes, I love the flag.
And then he said that like, real low key too.
Yeah, right? Really low key so flag. No one else could hear it. I was like, well, I love the flag. It was went back so nobody else could hear it. But it was so funny because they were all on the same page, but they didn't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause there was, and I loved, and you know, the, I don't want to tease myself thinking that it's going to be the same as 2016 because watching them cry after the election was one of the happiest moments ever in my entire life. And I truly would love to have that, to be able to experience that Schadenfreude again.
Yep.
So I'm preparing myself for defeat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just like I did in 2020, because I'd rather be pleasantly surprised than horribly disappointed. Now, as far as DEI goes, the left always pushes things too far.
Mm-hmm.
Always. They always do. I saw a video on X about 2 weeks ago, gay woman, older gay woman who said, I am so sorry that I fought for gay rights because we never wanted it to be this. We just wanted to be equal.
Right.
But they always go too far. Mm-hmm. And that's what they've done with DEI, which it's kind of fun to watch them always push too far. But they do get what they want and a little bit more. But what's interesting to me is that the woman, Sage Steele, is the only one who had the guts to come out and back Trump. All the men are giving their opinion but staying on the down low.
Mm-hmm. That's
all I'm going
to
say.
It's well said. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. And then when we get to notable figures coming out and having an influence with what they say, we had what I believe was probably the biggest story of the weekend. And the ripple effect, I think, is I don't think you can even categorize it or classify it, because Dawn Staley is a Philly girl. She was the former head coach at Temple University for women's basketball. She has now since gone down and has become the head coach at South Carolina University. And they just won the national championship in college basketball yesterday on Sunday, capping off an undefeated season. I believe she's now won 3 national championships, and I think she's only lost 1 game the last 2 years. She's like 78-1 or something like that the last 2 years. And on Saturday, leading up to the game on Sunday, she was asked by Dan Zakshesky, who works for Outkick, which has now been bought by Fox News. Dan used to be a reporter and a producer at ESPN, and he asked Dawn Staley, the South Carolina women's coach, her thoughts on biological men competing in female sports. And here is what former Temple head coach Dawn Staley had to say. Listen and watch this.
Dan Zakshesky, Outkick coach, you just talked about, you know, what a massive weekend this is, obviously, for women's basketball, women's sports in general. One of the major issues facing women's sports right now is the debate, discussion topic about the inclusion of transgender athletes, biological males, in women's sports. I was wondering if you would tell me your position on that issue.
Damn, you got deep on me, didn't you? I'm under the opinion of.
You can say it. Come on, Dawn. Come on. Come on.
If you're a woman, you should play. If you consider yourself a woman, and you want to play sports, or vice versa, you should be able to play. That's my opinion. You want me to go deeper?
Do you think transgender women should be able to participate?
That's your question you want
basketball.
Me to ask. I mean, you want to ask, so I'll give you that. Yes. Yes. So now the barnstorm of people are going to flood my timeline and be a distraction to me on one of the biggest days of our game. And I'm okay with that. I really am.
See, that's where if I'm Dan Zakshesky, I say, no, I don't necessarily need you to go deeper. I need you to give me your honest opinion, because I can't imagine that Dawn, and maybe she truly feels that way, and maybe the question caught her off guard, but I can't imagine that Dawn Staley, a former Temple coach, actually believes what she just said, but she's forced to say yes because of the small vocal minority of the left-wing outrage mob. You're going to have probably, I think I recited that one Gallup poll months ago on this show, almost 80% of Americans believe that men have no place in women's sports. And I actually think that number's probably higher, but they are afraid to speak out in fear of being canceled. Mary, I think she truly does. I just a guess, but I don't think she believes what she said. And then she goes, well, now my timeline's going to be flooded. And then she's going to claim to be the victim here because most people with common sense and a functional brain do not believe men have any right to take women's spot in sports.
Yeah, no. And I agree with you. I think you're right. She doesn't believe that. And how did she not expect that question? How do you not expect that question, right? That's the question, because you have to bow down. Are you part of our cult? Do you worship the same gods we worship? And they will compel you to say that you worship the same God, that, yes, I'm part of your religion. When they, to your point, are a vocal minority. Okay, you're a vocal minority. Why not tell them no?
Right.
Because you're a vocal minority. No, I don't believe that a biological man who can hurt a woman severely playing in the same sport as she should be allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to protect my women. She has the power. She is so accomplished. She has the power to speak her mind and say what was it? What did you say was like 80% of people feel?
Yeah.
Right?
And I think that number is probably higher.
I agree. So why not be true? Because she has the power. Her job's not in jeopardy.
Nope. No, she's a great coach. She's got three national championships. She's loved by her players. And I haven't heard of one specific instance where a biological male that tried to identify as female is trying to get recruited and get a scholarship to play at South Carolina. So I really don't know who she's alienating. But see, this is the absurdity of the left-wing woke nonsense is, you know, let's just say 90 to 95% of Americans think men have no spot in women's sports, which is the right opinion. And then you do some dummy math. Well, I think it was 9% of the United States identifies as LGBTQ+, right? And within that 9%, only 1% is trans. So we're going to take the smallest sliver of the pie and force that little small sliver's thought process onto the masses. And if you don't get behind it, then you become persona non grata. It's sheer lunacy.
It's the tyranny of the minority.
Right. That is correct.
Right. And so she should man up, no pun intended, and be honest. And I'm willing to bet now she has ticked off a lot of her players.
Could very well be the case. I don't know how many females that play college basketball identify as LGBTQ+, but I would assume there's a certain percentage for sure. And I would argue that today, on Monday, coming off of the weekend, people going back to work, all of the 5-day-a-week shows, this should be the number one story in all of sports talk radio for sure, and maybe even in news and political talk as well. Because I want people to think about this for a second. Think, well, it's not a sports issue. It's a social issue. It's a political issue. No, it's not. It is a fundamental eligibility issue at the highest level, right? There's a reason why when you were growing up as a kid, we competed in age groups with sports. You know, 7 to 9 year olds competed together, 10 to 12 year olds. And then you get to middle school and junior high and high school. Yeah. There's a reason why we have weight classes in little peewee football. We have weight classes in wrestling because there's an inherent advantage, and biology dictates that by and large, most men, not all men, but most men are physically more gifted than females. Doesn't mean I could beat a female that plays at South Carolina. She would wipe the floor with me. But generally speaking, apples to apples, men are usually stronger, faster, and bigger.
True. And I don't know if you saw the Dave Chappelle Netflix special, and because you were talking about how many women identify as gay or one of the alphabets, but Dave Chappelle put it in a way that I thought was really interesting. He said the L's, the G's, and the B's don't like the T's.
Hold on, I got to get my calculator out here. I'm going to need a Venn diagram for this.
He's 100% right about that too. By the way, the gays don't like the lesbians don't like the trans. It's a whole.
Does it go back to
civil war amongst the?
Does it go back to what gay and lesbian people were fighting for? Were just the equality concept?
Yes.
And they feel like the trans people are making a mockery of them now.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. That's what I figured. So I think you have one of three scenarios today in the media, because I'm always interested to see how media will cover or not cover a story. So they can completely ignore that story. They could talk about it with the forced left-wing talking points, or they could actually have the courage and the guts. And it's ridiculous that you have to say that, because 90% of people believe what you're about to say, but it's viewed as courageous and possibly fireable or cancelable to come out and speak with truth and facts and biology. But I would also say this, and working with Mary, I don't want to be considered a sexist by this comment.
But go ahead anyway.
But I'm going to go ahead anyway. I'm going to shoot my shot. Especially women in sports or sports media or just general society, we need more females to fight this battle. Like, it can only go so far with people on talk radio. It only carries so much weight if a man says it. But you know how you get true change and you stop this and you kind of get the reversing of the course, like we talked about in the Big Take with the decriminalization of drugs in the Pacific Northwest? Failed experiment. You know what? Let me reel back in the poll a little bit. We're going to need women in masses to speak up for this, or you're going to have 100 years of progress erased.
We're kind of busy cleaning up the rest of your messes.
I know. I'm a slob, actually.
So here's, I actually think it's the opposite. I think that we need men, because, I mean, who watches the WNBA? Not nearly as many as people watch the NBA.
Right.
We need men in professional sports who truly believe that what's happening here is wrong to stand up and say, no, if there's a dude playing on this team over here, we're going to protect our sisters. We're going to protect our women, and we're not going to play until they fix this.
That's a good point.
Because if the men stand up who make the money in sports, not the women, women aren't making the money, they're not drawing the crowds, so
right.
I get it.
Right.
But the men who have the big bucks, the men who control, you know, the NFL, I would love to see NFL, NBA, NHL go on strike for just for a couple of games and see how quickly this would change.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys clean it up.
Yeah, that's a very good point. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. Noted college basketball expert, our very own Phil Omquist, says South Carolina the last 3 years is 109-3. They've won 109 of their last 112 games.
Oh, my God.
I would argue that makes Dawn Staley untouchable. And if she came out and said, dude, you have no spot,
yeah,
and you don't like that, fire me.
It's like what we always say about comedians, how the ones who are have made all their money, who have FU money, who can do these things, they're the ones that should be standing up for cancel culture, because the ones coming up who don't have the money that a Jerry Seinfeld does don't have that luxury of doing it.
Very true.
It's the same thing with Dawn Staley, and you know, she should have used her platform to say the right thing, but she didn't.
I agree.
And may I dare say, she checks two boxes at least on the the diversity thing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's not getting fired.
Yeah,
if she were a white woman, she's got a white man, she would have been gone already.
Yeah.
But she's a minority, so she's got more power, so she should have done the right thing.
Iowa coach Lisa Blutter declined to answer the same question when Dan Zakrzewski asked her. She said, quote, my focus is on tomorrow's game. She's added that it's an important issue, but an important issue for, quote, another time. As in, maybe she really felt it wasn't the right time. But I think she kind of gave you the answer of, yeah, I think it's kind of ridiculous. I'm not going to answer it right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to win a national championship. So there you go. 855-839-1210. If you would like to jump in, big cash hauls over the weekend, not only for Trump, but also for Biden for the month of March. We'll get to that. And also how much money Trump was able to raise this past weekend at Mar-a-Lago. But first, a word from my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. And I got to tell you, it has now been, I think, 9 weeks since the debut of Kale Pool Karaoke, and I get tweets from time to time asking about the vehicle, the SUV that we were in when we filmed the debut episode. Yeah, that's the 2024 Pilot Trail Sport, the full-size SUV from Honda with all the rugged off-roading all-terrain abilities. And the thing I love most about this vehicle, and that's where we filmed the first episode of Kale Pool Karaoke, is the third row seating. It's becoming a common theme, whether you're looking for a minivan or an SUV, whether you're a husband or a wife, a lot of people looking for that third row seating. It comes standard, and it also features a 7-mode drive system, Trail Watch multi-camera view, 18-inch alloy wheels, and wireless Apple CarPlay, all the tech for all the kids. And you can explore all of the new options and all the new variations of the Honda Pilot, the 2024 model, at one of the 5 Piazza Honda locations in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Reading, Springfield, and Langhorne, or online, piazzaautogroup.com.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, as we put a bow on hour number one, Nick Kale, Mary Walter, in for Dawn Stensland, Greg Stocker. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube. 855-839-1210. John Fetterman back in the news. We'll get to him in the 7 o'clock hour. Also, parents in the world of technology, what do you hear about this story with your children? We're going to get to that before we get to the cut sheet, and also some very interesting stories about Biden's economy, and also one ban that the Biden administration was pushing for, but in light of new news and new polling figures, they're like, you know what, maybe we ought to put this on the back burner for now. We'll get to that story as we continue as well. But it was a big cash haul over the weekend. We talked about a lot of these fundraisers. Joe Biden had an incredibly strong March as he raised over $90 million in the month month of March alone. And he had that $25 million big wig fundraiser last week when he was too busy to get to the wake of that officer that was killed in New York, Jonathan Diller. And he raised $25 million in that little get-together. And then Trump and his fundraiser and his donors, they doubled it up over the weekend. Many people were expecting north of $35, $40 million, maybe close to $50 million. And according to the New York Post, Trump raked in a record-setting $50.5 million this past weekend at the exclusive Florida campaign fundraiser, shattering Biden's New York City hall. Trump posted on Truth over the weekend after the fundraiser saying, quote, "It was the biggest night in fundraising of all time. We will double up the Biden number of last week at Radio City. People are desperate for change, and they want to make America great again." Now, Mary Walter, you're married to a doctor, I believe you said on the air, correct?
Yes.
So you can afford $250,000 a plate. I'm just wondering, how many plates did you and your husband get on Saturday night at Mar-a-Lago? Because attendees paid between $250,000 and $814,000 per person to sit down and have dinner at Mar-a-Lago.
Actually, almost 825,000, 824.6, according. Oh, yeah, 824.6. Okay. Not to correct you.
Put me down for
but,
you know, put me down but for
that extra. But in my world, that extra $10,600 is a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's like when Jim Carrey and Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber walk into that gala, and they're like, "I'm sorry, sir, this is $100 a plate dinner." And he's like, "Oh, put me down for three." And he stuffs the cash in the guy's pocket and then shoots the mouth rinse in his face. That's what this reminds me of. Special guests included Vivek Ramaswamy, Tim Scott, Doug Burgum, WWE co-founder Linda McMahon, Steve Wynn, the hotel mogul, and other hedge fund billionaires, including Robert Mercer. Here's my question, though, and I think this is a legit, valid question. We understand how politics works, how money is essential for a campaign, obviously ballot access, things like that as well. But you have Biden raising $90 million in March. They say his kind of war chest total now is like $155, $160 million. Trump raised all of this money, certainly could use it after getting hit for $84 million and then $400 or $500 million with Letitia James. But at this point, does money actually make a difference when we're talking about these two individuals? Because we have been told this is the election of everybody already knows where they're going to vote. Let's just fast forward to November. People are like, "I'm exhausted and fatigued by both. I'm not in love with the options." We've heard all of those narratives, and some of them are certainly factual as well. Does the money actually make a difference here? Does it win anybody over if you spend more in advertising? I mean, is Trump getting anybody that he doesn't? Is Biden getting anybody that he didn't 4 years ago? What do you think?
So I think I was going to say no until you said advertising.
Okay.
And then I kind of changed my mind. For instance, I think the Republicans, and the Republicans are terrible at messaging.
Awful.
But the Republicans need money because I think they need to get out and advertise. They need to do more. For instance, does anybody realize that a week ago today, Joe Biden signed a new rule that's going to cut Medicare Advantage starting in January of 2025?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's going to cost seniors who are on Medicare Advantage almost $400 a year more.
Which a lot of people can't afford.
Which a lot of people, but what is the left doing at every turn? The GOP Republicans are going to push Granny off a cliff. They ran a commercial that showed a guy who was supposed to be a Republican literally pushing an old woman in a wheelchair off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so memorable. And they scream that at every turn. Trump's going to cut Medicare. Trump's going to cut Social Security. They're literally doing it.
Well, they're good, and they're good at the messaging. You're exactly right.
But that's my thing. Yes, yeah. They need the money to message and hire someone. Please hire me. I'll do it for you. It's not that hard. You know, that to get the message out and have to hit it over and over and over again. Trump is great at messaging. And so I do think that they need more money. Trump is about $100 million short compared to Biden.
For right now, if we're comparing both bank accounts, so to speak.
I'm thinking between the three of us, we could probably put a dent in that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, put me down for 10.
Yeah, 10.
10 bucks. Yeah. So we're still substantially short. But like, it's just, you know, it's one of these things. You're right. You know, maybe the money actually means more for Trump. Because if you think about the disadvantages here, if you're Trump or if you're a Republican, you're already outnumbered in registered voters in certain states. You know, Pennsylvania, we've chipped away. Scott Pressler has done a great job. And guys like that. Media coverage, I mean, let's face it, what is it, a 10-to-1 advantage, 8-to-2 as far as channels out there, you know, with where you get all, you know, big tech. We know what happened 4 years ago. So probably the $50.5 million for Trump in one night probably means more to counter the disadvantage than vice versa with Joe with what he's been able to raise.
Yeah. Absolutely. And like I said, I was going to say no until you said advertising. And I was like, the light bulb went off in my head. I'm like, he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
The advertising, to me, is the linchpin of the whole thing.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out for sure. 855-839-1210. All right, we've got some incredible stories coming up to kick off the 7 o'clock hour. Very interesting story from the Wall Street Journal when we look at Western Pennsylvania and the fracking industry and how this hurts Joe Biden. And also, John Fetterman, day by day, as he has recovered from his stroke, he either pulled the wool over the eyes of the Democrats or he is just all of a sudden reconnecting the wires and realizes how absurd some of the far-left progressive policies are. He had an exclusive interview with the New York Post, and he had some really, really interesting stuff to say, and we'll get to that when we break it down coming up in hour number two. But if you want to jump in, 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, fire away in the YouTube chat. It's the Kale & Company comment community. Just go to youtube.com/@1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe buttons. Hour number two coming up next, it's Kale & Company. Nick, Mary, she's in for Dawn. Stalker's here as well, and we're back after this.
Start your day with Kale & Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.